On tonight's agenda, we take a look back at the year just gone and ponder what 2022 has in store for us. It's been quite an eventful year as we've struggled again with COVID, had elections to both local government and the House of Keys, and we begin to see the shape of our new government. Find out what seasoned journalists Alistair Ramsay and Paul Moulton made of 2021, and will they be prepared to make predictions for this topsy-turvy world we live in? <music> 2021 has been an interesting year. Obviously, we've had an election, but what stands out for you, Alistair? What would you say are the big issues that have happened during the year?
Well, I suppose one of the things that struck me is the way that in the midst of an ongoing global pandemic, the island has managed to develop and introduce a whole new organisation for health and social care in the shape of Manx Care. And credit where it's due, I think getting that all in place over the last couple of years, I guess, has been a remarkable achievement.
And I suppose, again, for people who haven't been inside the sort of the machinery of government, it's hard perhaps to understand just how big a task something like that is.
Oh, it's massive. I mean, the legislation, the organisational, getting the staff in and so on, absolutely massive exercise. And politically, the significance of kind of getting that distance between the department and the delivery and operational side, this so-called arm's length relationship, whether that will work or not in the Manx political culture, where it tends to have been a lot of micromanagement by politicians in the past, that remains to be seen. But there's also a suggestion that that could be a template for other departments as well. So it's a very significant development.
Because in a way, this was the kind of approach that had been suggested by the long forgotten Quayle report. Really, it was a government would commission agencies to do their work for them, as opposed to do it all themselves.
Yes, so that's one aspect of the scope and structure report that is being honoured. I mean, the Quayle report also said that government should be a lot smaller, and that bit has been forgotten, I think.
Yeah, maybe one day, who knows?
Well, I doubt it.
So yeah, okay. Any other big events that you would say have happened during the year?
I'll go for an easy and obvious one. It's obviously a new House of Keys following the general election. Again, quite a significant historical development there. You had 11 new members, 10 of them females, so the greatest female representation we've had, and that's reflected in the new Council of Ministers, 4 women. So we've got a far more diverse House of Keys than we've ever had.
And of course, this was entering into a House of Keys that was already relatively inexperienced in as much as there were, was the 12 new members in the previous election.
So this new House is pretty light on experience. And in fact, the kind of old hands themselves aren't that experienced. I mean, you can be a veteran now after 5 years.
Yes, we joked on the programme, me and the Speaker, that young Mr. Watterson is now the grandfather of the House of Keys. Indeed.
Yeah. The other thing that somebody was pointing out on social media recently is that not only is there more diversity, but the age structure is changing. It's a younger House. There are more people with kind of youngish families, and that's going to make a difference. But also a lot better educated than in the past. Apparently the number of graduates there now, the graduates are now in the majority, whereas in the past it was very much a small minority. Whether that really matters, I don't know, but it's interesting.
Hmm. And a third key event over the course of the last
year? Well, again, another obvious one, and a new chief minister in the person of Alfred Cannon, who beat Alex Allenson in the contest there. I think Mr. Cannon obviously had a good pandemic as far as the members were concerned. He was, from the comments that members came out with when they were supporting him, obviously seen as a very approachable member of the Council of Ministers, perhaps in contrast to one or two of the others. He, in his role as Treasury Minister, obviously was seen as fairly, well, pretty competent. The role wasn't as controversial as some of the others. So I think he's a pretty popular choice. But there's lots of fault lines underlying this coalition that he's now in charge of. And it'd be interesting to see how it pans out. If he's pretty popular now, but what will he do when he's faced with decisions that could make him less popular?
Yes, it's going to certainly be the making of Mr. Cannon and his sort of 5 years term as chief minister, just to see how he deals with those impossible decisions, which are, you know, on the one hand, I'm going to upset all these people, and then on the other hand, I'm going to upset the other half. So, those are the ones which no politician likes to have to take.
No, indeed. And, you know, you want to make the omelette, but you don't want to break the eggs. So.
Difficult. So 2022 is almost upon us, and I hope to get you back at the end of 2022 to consider your predictions for the coming 12 months. So what do you think by December next year we're going to see, which would be of significance? What would your predictions be?
Well, I'll start with a slightly boring one, but it is quite significant, I think. I think we're going to see a decentralised approach to government from the new chief minister, more inclusive and relaxed, and with a less emphasis on the Council of Ministers as such, and almost closer to the old board system. So you'll be sharing kind of responsibility, and make the members feel more involved.
There's certainly a very dramatic, I think it's probably a promise in the new draft plan for government, where all government departments are to come to Tynwald to get their agenda for the next 12 months not only debated and considered, but approved, which is quite a big step, really.
Yes, and it seems to be putting more emphasis on Tynwald, you know, the will of Tynwald as the final arbiter. I mean, Mr. Cannon said, I think, that he wants to reset the relationship between ministers and departments and Tynwald. It's not clear at this stage how that's all going to work. I think it might make the members feel better, but whether it works in terms of making hard decisions and in terms of the public being able to see who's responsible for what remains to be seen, because the old board system was changed to the ministerial system simply because nobody could see who was in charge of anything. So the jury's going to be out on that.
And your second prediction then?
This is a bit more interesting. I think there's going to be a rift within Tynwald over the question of exploiting any gas reserves in Manx territorial waters. And I think that will test the green credentials of this administration and how radical they are. I think the outcome will be that they're not that radical, that actually they will take a pragmatic approach and go ahead with that process. And that will strain relationships, I think, possibly within the government, between the ministers and the people who are ostensibly in charge of the climate change agenda. But I think my feel is that public opinion would not accept leaving a big resource in the ground when it could make such a difference to the island.
And I suppose, yes, particularly at a time when, you know, if we are to move to a low or zero carbon economy, which is indeed the aspiration of government, you know, it's going to cost an amount of money to do that. I mean, the people on in terms of the green agenda would strongly point out that it's going to cost if you don't do anything.
Yeah, sure.
But There's two reasonably predictable predictions there. The third one, is that going to be more out there, or is it?
Not really. No, it's fairly predictable coming from me. It's my hobby horse about how they're going to pay for things. My prediction is that they won't grasp the nettle of the challenge around funding health and social care and education. Everyone accepts that these areas in particular, their priorities, they need a lot more investment. Equally, everyone accepts that public finances are stretched. So something has to give. We either have to have taxes go up or we seriously cut other spending. My prediction is that neither of these things will happen, and that somehow or other this administration will fudge it. And it'll be interesting to see what that fudge looks like.
So you've heard it there first. Next Christmas, you'll be able to hand out boxes of Cannon fudge to your nearest and dearest as Christmas presents. Well, thank you very much, Alistair. I think there's some fascinating thoughts there, and it's going to be an interesting first year for the new administration, and there's an awful lot of talk of enthusiasm and things really are going to change this time, and perhaps I'm naive, but I really do see change happening.
Are we old men, or have we heard it before?
That was Alistair Ramsay's take. What does Paul Moulton think?
Oh, Phil, how do you describe 2021? I mean, to be in media at this time was incredible on the Isle of Man. I mean, all of us were thrust from just doing our jobs to being put in front of the government and the whole Isle of Man, and goodness knows who else was listening, to ask questions to the panel. And, it didn't matter what question you asked, people didn't like the answers, or they didn't like the questions or whatever. Everyone was suddenly listening to this daily update and dying to have their question asked. So I was getting loads of people, and quite a lot of MHKs were on my messenger as well, all thrusting questions at me. And it seemed to me the more you were asking the more challenging questions, the more people either loved you or hated you, but you got more people giving you some amazing directions. And if anything, looking back on it, I think it wasn't probably the easiest thing to do when you're being on Zoom and it was you only have two questions and this sort of thing. I think it was quite a strange way that it was done. I understand we had to be on Zoom when we had isolation, but once those restrictions were lifted, I made it very clear I'd rather be in the room and make eyeball to eyeball.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so different. And you know the technicals. I mean, 9 times out of 10 it was okay, but sometimes you couldn't hear the question or they couldn't hear us.
And would you say that perhaps sometimes it ended up a bit of an information overkill?
Well, there were days when there was no need for a press conference, probably. There were days when, I mean, I was there every time, so I knew what questions had been asked. But when you got other journalists, could be repeating questions that had been asked the day before. Also, it was just the way, and I keep referring to this, you have to watch how Guernsey particularly handled it. Their chief minister acted as a chairman. So you ask a question, and he would then bat it off to the right person to answer it. Now, you didn't get that here. We always went down this strange route of Howard would get the first go at it, then it would go to David, and by the time it got to Dr. Hewitt, poor Dr. Hewitt, normally all she ever said was, I think that's already been answered. Very strange. And, you know, this is very important, because if it's not your skill set, then don't go for it. Pass it on to the right person. There were lessons to be learnt on that whole thing. It didn't matter what question I asked sometimes. You could just see it. People hated it. They didn't like me, whatever. Other people loved it. I mean, I've never walked into Marxies and had so many people come up to me and thank me so much. I mean, really, it was like when I was a youngster on Manx Radio and I was a DJ. And
you still are a youngster.
You know, when we were it was like exciting and, you know, the only player in town. I've never had a reaction like that for years. But for every person that comes up and says thank you, there's another one that...
Well,
it's
yes,
horrible,
and isn't that the way with the political world that we sort of observe? The other interesting thing, perhaps, of course, we've had an election. Prior to the election, government's position in relation to the media was at best
strained.
Strained, and after the election, perhaps it's improved a bit.
It has. In fact, in this very studio on the election night when I was a guest, I was saying, I really hope we have a reset. And it has. I mean, I can tell you, it was really horrible. I mean, there's no question about it. I was getting all sorts of flack, and I wouldn't be the only one, I'm sure, because I wasn't asking the right questions. You know, what are you doing? This is maybe, you know, nicey, and I'm going, well, I don't know what that even means. What is a nice question? If it's a press, do you want a press conference or do you want an adulation society? Mm. And that was what they just couldn't get their head round.
And that's what, effectively, that's what we're here for. The, you know, the media are there to hold government to account, pretty much in the same way that Tynwald members are.
Well, you'd know your time in Tynwald. A lot of it is, I suppose, a bit of pantomime, or whatever you want to call it. In the chamber, you'd be very serious and you'd be going for it, and it would look like there was a lot of tension between you. But normally you'd leave that at the door probably and go and have a coffee afterwards. The same thing. I mean, Howard and me, we go back years, and I've got many pictures of us having, you know, shaking hands, but people took it that we didn't like each other. And David as well. I saw Mr. Ashford every week. We did an update, and we used to laugh about this, that people thought we really, really didn't like each other. That is just the perception of when you go into that gladiatorial situation, because I mean, some of the people are going, if I may, Minister, could I ask you? I'm going, what are you doing? Just ask the question. It's
yes,
not a question.
You wouldn't be there if you would.
It's a sort of grovelling, grovel. You know, I hope I don't upset you. Just ask the question. And normally, I always go back for the second round, as you do, because you never get the answer on the first go. So my one question would enter two or three. I didn't care. And also, I weirdly started to enjoy the social media backlash. I don't know what it was, but I actually realised that people don't really know me, but they assume that they're just, I'm a horrible person. And as I said, other people liked it.
And MTTV, I mean, that's another thing that's, if we look back over the year, that
yeah, it did that, 9 years.
Yeah, and nine very, very successful years too.
Well, I'd done ITV Border, which is where it all started. Then I moved to BBC for a while. Then ITV Granada took over. And when this opportunity of MTTV came up, I was loving it because I realised at Granada I was putting stuff online, because, you know, when you're doing the stuff that goes out in the Northwest, you only get a few minutes. And it's normally, if there's a political story or there's the Basking Sharks or the Wallabies, you know which story they're going to go for, because you're dealing with the whole of a region, not just the Isle of Man. So once I was at Granada, I started putting stuff, the whole interviews online. And I just took it upon myself, and they loved it, and they thought I was doing a fantastic thing. And that's really where it all went. And MTTV, Manx Telecom, came along, because Shaw were doing their thing, MT were going to do theirs. So I was just the right place, right time, and they let me loose. I can't thank them enough. I'm sorry it came to an end, really, but, you know, the company's taken a different direction. They've got money to be spent on other things. And I can't say enough, you know, nice things that they let me just get on with it. And I've done a few things since. Now I'm back to, well, I'm Isle of Man Television, and I'm on my own. And if anyone wants to, I shouldn't really say that, you know, if anyone wants to help out, let me know. But I'll keep going. Maybe not the same level. I'm getting older now, but I think it's so important to, and I do those weekend debates, and I've set my own studios up, and just allowing, well, I think what you do, you see, this is what you do, is such a great thing, because I think it's needed.
You can come on the show again.
But it's needed, Phil. And you know, don't play the music. Talk to people. And if people want to listen, they'll listen. But don't chase ratings as well. That's another thing. But that's another story. You know, if you're going to do this, do it right. And you've got to have a passion for it. And that's what I think we both have here.
Absolutely, yeah.
Adulation Society.
There's something about, yeah, it's an unfortunate affliction, really, to be so passionately interested in Manx politics, but actually it is important, isn't it? And actually, if we sort of moving on, you know, it is important. And you know, we've got a year ahead of us, 2022. Any thoughts as to what 2022 is going to be like?
Well, can I keep on the same theme about the business of the press conferences? We had a reset, and I think I can talk about this without giving anything away. But there's now a very, very good communication. Mr. Boxer and the whole team in comms have listened, not just to me, but we have a group thing. We can have this whole thing about trust, which is so important, that, you know, the government now may trust us with information which can't be used, but it's there. So it's like the number 10 briefings they get every day. Yeah. You can have that information, which is handy when the news breaks later that day, but you can't use it and you can't attribute it. So there's a trust thing that's now been built up, and we've been doing this since the beginning of this new regime. And we also the new chief minister has set aside all the ministers on a Thursday. They have to have their calendars free for a couple of hours in the afternoon. So all the media have a chance to book an interview with whoever they want. Now, this is where we're going in the right direction, because up to now, it was more of we would go to the minister, not go through comms, because comms would, you know, it might be sorted, might not be. And that was then. Now, it's so proactive. And so far, fingers crossed, it keeps going, because this is better for everyone. And the government can sort of do the narrative, but they won't buy me and they won't buy other ones. You know, if it's going the rails, tracks and all that, you know, things coming off the rails, we would still ask those questions. And that, I think that's the whole thing. If you're an independent journalist, you don't have to worry about the paymaster. It makes a big difference. Because I think so many media do have that issue. Should we ask that, or are we going to lose some goodwill, or worse still, financing? Because government is such a big player in the field of buying advertising on no, I'm not talking about radio, but, you know, in papers as well. And so I always think, at least I'm the one that's completely independent. And like yourself, if you're freelance, you can do what you want to some degree. Yes, until you're taken off air.
Absolutely, yes. I've not, as yet anyway, been interfered with in any way, shape or form.
And that's
it's fair
the thing,
say.
You see. When I got told to ask nicer questions, I didn't know what to say, because that I thought, I'm being challenged or pressurized, basically. So I don't even notice, but I didn't go for like 6 weeks when it all settled down anyway. And this is an original thing, because I thought, I don't need this, and I'm not going to ask a nice question, so I just won't go. But then once it ramped up again, I was straight back in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it was on every day, it was getting a bit tiresome.
So where do you think, is COVID going to be with us in the menacing form, perhaps, that it's been for the last few years? Or are we starting to get over this now?
Well, I think Alf Cannon so far is playing this really well. Jeebus, did I just give him a compliment? That'll come back to haunt me. No, but seriously, you know, he hasn't called conferences all the time. He's not hit the panic buttons. And I appreciate under Howard Quayle, we were in different times, but things are moving on. And to be honest, I don't even want to go to press conferences to ask those questions, because I think we are now, in my case, I've just come back from America and I got in and out, but you could just see how it's all going to shut down again. But in the Isle of Man terms, couldn't say when it went so well coming back in, got my card and went for my test. I think the Isle of Man is going to follow the UK anyway. So what else can you do? If the UK shuts down a bit more, we will. But I'm sure someone's looking at that TT festival and going, what on earth are we going to do with
it? It's a big worry, isn't it?
Who'd you let in?
but one of the things that I've certainly noticed in the course of the last few months is perhaps overly optimistic, but certainly a great feel of optimism and enthusiasm from the newly elected MHKs, the newly appointed ministers.
Phil, it's called a love-in at the minute. You know, you remember that every time a new Timwell meets, after House Keys comes in, rather, for the first year, everyone's very nice and they're very positive and, you know, everything's going to be done. Everything's going to be sorted. It's when the wheels start falling off, year three and a half, certainly by four, and then it's all downhill for the last time, because everyone's busy trying to electioneer.
Yeah, closer you get to the election, the less eager you are to compliment your opponents.
Well, they're setting down some standards here, or trying to, but it still seems to me that there's no real fixing of dates for things. It's all a bit too far in the distance.
But
maybe.
they are talking about trying to do fewer things better, for example, which is quite a bold step. They're talking about this quite amazing move back to the future, you could almost say, where all the departments and agencies of government have to go to Timbald to have their homework marked, and you know, next year. Plans and proposals have to be approved by Timbald as well. This is quite a bold step.
And do you think that's good?
Well, I don't know.
See, I'm turning to the questioner now.
You see that's my job today.
I know, but I can't help myself.
I'm Phil Gorn. Thanks for listening.